Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts, the meditations, and the reflections of this year congregation find acceptance and pleasure in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. It's not very often that we have the opportunity to celebrate a 500th anniversary. That means that something noteworthy has occurred and maintained human interest for half a millennium. Even our United States of America is only 241 years old, not even half that old. Last October 31st, there are numerous commemorations and celebrations of Martin Luther's posting of his 95 theses on the Castle Church doors in Wittenberg, Germany, including in Wittenberg, which was formerly part, obviously, of the communist East Germany. Luther could hardly have imagined that these theses would cause such a stir. Indeed, Luther rather tried to avoid that sort of thing. The 95 theses, you see, were posted in Latin. Most people couldn't even read in that day and age, and certainly fewer could read and comprehend Latin, the language of scholars. Luther intended to engage in an intellectual debate about concerns he had with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church of his day and age, particularly surrounding the teaching concerning the veneration of saints and the use of indulgences. Luther believed, no doubt naively, that merely pointing out certain concerns would result in those concerns being addressed by the church and changed for the better. There can be no doubt, though, that political intrigues played a role in the advance of Luther's teachings. Without the support of Frederick III, one of the electors of the Holy Roman Emperor and Luther's prince, Luther would not have survived. See, there was growing antipathy toward certain princes in the northern portion of Europe, and princes who remained loyal to the papacy, which is not to overlook the fact that the Pope regularly sent emissary into northern realms of Europe, including Germany, to collect monies which were used to underwrite church expenses, particularly in that day, the renovation of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Luther undermined that system, though again, somewhat naively. But his prince, along with others, realized the political implications of Luther and his works, and Luther and his teachings were used to their advantage. Otherwise, Luther would have wound up like the Czech figure John Huss, who was burnt at the stake for a heresy a century earlier based upon not dissimilar teachings. Indeed, Luther was at sometimes branded, and not inappropriately, the Saxon Huss. After posting the 95 theses, these theses were quickly translated into German and circulated widely. And as people are wont to say, the rest is history. Relatively quickly for those days, Luther was summoned to a council known as the Diet of Worms. There, Luther defended his theses and the writings he had put forth since the posting of those 95 theses. The diet actually lasted several months, from January to May of 1521. It was in his final defense that Luther declined to renounce and recant the various writings he had been summoned to Worms to defend. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, he is quoted as saying, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here stehe ich. Here I stand. I cannot do anything else. May God help me. Amen. The die was cast. Having been guaranteed safe passage both to and from the Diet of Worms, Luther soon left to return to Wittenberg, which was his home. But Luther never made it home. For his own protection, Luther was kidnapped and taken to Wittenberg Castle, where he continued to work and write, being known in those parts, though, as Brother George. The words of Luther, particularly that phrase, "Here I stand," continued to reverberate across Europe. Luther had taken a stand against the hierarchy of the church based upon conscience. Though he was not the first to do so, Luther was the first seemingly to do so successfully. He continued to study and write, and it became the focal point of a mass rebellion against church and political authority. Others, such as Melanchthon, Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin, would follow suit. The church was fragmented, but the word of God continued to be proclaimed. Now, in fairness, it should be noted that Pope John Paul II in 1999 expressed, quote, "deep regret for the cruel death inflicted," unquote, on John Huss, and added to his deep sorrow for Huss's death and praised his moral courage. Luther is no longer condemned as a vile heretic amongst Roman Catholics either. Indeed, there have been others within the Roman Catholic Church who have offered even harsher words for the Roman Catholic Church than did Luther. Luther is remembered and admired as a man who took a stand. He stood where and when others did not and would not. He continues to stand to this very day as a symbol of faith and faithfulness to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, three young men have assembled here before God and you as God's church to announce and proclaim where they stand. I invite and encourage you to listen as they share publicly now before you where they stand.
Good morning. Since I was young, I've always been learning about what God is doing for me and what Jesus has done to save me and give me the chance for everlasting life. I've been brought up in the church and I've been taught the ways of life and what it means to be a Christian. I've been told about what Jesus Christ did for me and how he gave his life for me on the cross so that I can be free from sin. I've been taught to pray and how to appreciate what God does for me every day, even though I may not see what he does to help me live a good life and keep my faith in him. I've seen how the Lord has touched many and has called many to do his will and to spread the word of God to the many nations and peoples of his earth. I know that God is in my life working in ways to make me a better Christian so that I may come to know him better during my walk with him on this earth. I will continue to work in my life to strengthen my faith in God and to understand more of what he wants me to do along the path towards sanctification. I will continue to learn the teachings of the Presbyterian Church and continue to extend my learning of Christ and his teachings that created Christian values and beliefs. I will continue to keep faith in God throughout my life and throughout my daily life, so that I may remember what he has done for me in my life, so that I can continue down the righteous path towards everlasting life and resurrection of my body, so that when I die, I will be with God. I will continue to hold faith that God will help me through tough times in my life, and to do this through prayer, talking to God, to keep me on the right track towards salvation. I will do God's will when I am called to, and I will have faith that He will protect me from evil whenever I am called. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, His Holy Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Just testing? Okay. Want to make sure this thing works. So, what is the message of God? The first of the two greatest commandments, Jesus says, is that you shall love God with all your heart. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor like yourself. Of course, nobody is perfect. Therefore, individuals forget to love sometimes. What does it mean when we break the commandments? And what does it mean when we follow them? There are several reactions we could possibly have when we break God's law. It depends on what action we take to apologize to ourselves, our neighbors, and God when we break the commandments. God understands that emotion is legitimate, but our actions show our true character. Some decide to say that they have been forgiven, but continue to dishonor God. These are the hypocrites that Jesus rebukes very commonly within his lifetime. Those who have not said that they have forgiven God, but make amends to their actions to honor God's word, are those who are saved by faith, as Jesus says. God knows better than to simply believe that a hypocrite would change. If that were the case, then heaven and hell would be two different levels of hell. Many don't pay as much attention as to what happens when we are faithful to God's commandments. However, God knows, because your actions are what truly matter to God, not your words. Your words have weight, but your actions move everyone. Even speaking is an action. How does one take his cross? By serving God, by spreading the word of God, by letting God guide you. There are many paths through life, but only some lead to eternal life. Some have been taught at a very young age how to follow God. These people tend to succeed better because they know the consequences of their actions, between the earthly consequences and the holy consequences. They also know how to accept these consequences as their own, and to take full responsibility for them. These individuals lead the people like caring shepherds. They take care of all the sheep and make sure that no one sheep has an issue. Other people don't see the path of God. They may claim to, but these are the hypocrites. They don't have success, they don't know the consequences, and they don't take responsibility. They try to lead, but they end up self-serving themselves. They don't care about the flock or the sheep. Rather, they care only about themselves. The shepherd will not be very successful then. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for being hypocritical. The Pharisees thought that they were closer to God than everyone else, even though they were much farther away. The teachers of the law would not listen because they believed that they were more knowledgeable than everyone, even though they would, in time, become the least knowledgeable individuals in the land because they would not listen. Who can speak to God? The Pharisees can't. Neither can the teachers of the law in Jesus' day. In fact, no hypocrite of this nature can speak to God. Only one who has God's grace can speak to him. One who has faith in God to lead the way can speak to him. Only one who admits their faults and tries to change them can speak to God. So what do the hypocrites really teach? They speak of the Word of God because they have memorized it. But it does not come from the heart. The ones who practice the Word of God are the true teachers. One does not have to be a pastor who studied religion to love God. One does not have to be educated to love God. One does not have to be good to love God. One does not have to be poor to love God. One does not have to be old to love God. One does not have to be loving to love God. Anyone can love God by recognizing their faults, forgiving, letting themselves be forgiven, and changing to show God that they are sincere. Paul the Apostle originally persecuted Christians, but when God spoke to him, he felt guilt, he was forgiven, and he changed from persecuting Christians to being one. God works in mysterious ways. God has always been with me, but I may not have known about his presence like I do now. The first place God has guided me is with my parents. Indeed, they have their faults. But they have shown me the path of God. One of the other first places that God has guided me is in Boy Scouts. It was no congregation to specifically learn the Word of God, but it taught me some of the skills that would allow me to serve God to the best of my ability. The Scout Law states that a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Even in times when people are not following one or more of these qualities, a scout is expected to follow all 12 parts in the Scout Law. In my Eagle Board of Review, I was asked several questions. The one I remember asks what a 13th trait of the Scout Law would be. I thought about this and came up with my answer. A scout is loving. A scout loves all his fellow scouts like his brothers. He loves his family with all his heart. He loves his friends like his family. And he loves everyone in general. To put loving with reverence, a scout loves God, no matter in what religion he worships. A scout loves every person, and a scout loves God. Indeed, this is the summary of the law in Christianity. Love is very powerful, but it can only be given if it is from the heart. The message of God is to love from the heart.
Good morning. God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for me, you, for our families, for our friends, everybody on this earth, just so that we can be forgiven for our sins. But do some people really value? Do they feel that guilt? Do they understand God's everlasting love for us? Sin is everywhere, and we see it every day, whether it's in school, at work, at ShopRite, anywhere. Jesus is our Savior, our God, our everything. Without Him dying on the cross, our lives would be very different. And such a sacrifice was given to us, and some don't even seem to understand. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whomever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." I know God will never stop loving me, and I believe God is I believe Jesus is fully God and fully man. Shed his blood for us, was born of the Virgin Mary, and I know that he's there at all times. I believe the amount of time that I mess up, I know that he will forgive me, and I still love and still love me. I believe God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He created us in his own image. He created this earth and gave us so much more to life and to be happy and to praise him also. God is eternal, everlasting, the beginning and the end. I believe salvation is a free gift from God that cannot be attained except through personal faith in Jesus Christ. And that all who receive him as a Savior become children of God and receive both forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Thank you.
Each of these three young men, Seth, Daniel, and James, have expressed their faith in their own words. I didn't tell them what they ought to write, so what you have heard comes from their hearts and their souls. Each statement of faith is peculiar to their unique personalities, and that's not a bad thing, but rather a good thing. The church and the world needs young men and women who are willing to take a stand, who are willing to make a stand. Lord knows there are too many who decline to take a stand and seemingly stand for nothing, at least nothing admirable or commendable. I commend these three young men for the stance they are taking before us and with us today. And yet it doesn't end there. At least it shouldn't end there. Luther's ministry did not end with his principal confession, "Here I stand." There are numerous other times and places where he would be compelled to stand again. And because of Luther's stance, others too have felt moved and take stands for God, for the Word of God, as their conscience would dictate, and also to take a stand against other political authorities. This country, these United States of America, would not be here today in its current shape and form and with its beliefs and practices had it not been for Martin Luther and other reformers who paved the way. And most certainly this Beverly Presbyterian Church would not be here today were it not for other reformers who paved the way for it. On this day, when we confirm where these three young men started, we need once again to confirm where we stand. Do we stand upon the Word of God, both the incarnate Word and the written Word? Do we stand upon the faith of our fathers and mothers, including our Reformation fathers, Martin Luther and John Calvin? May God continue to bless us for where we stand, both as a corporate church and then again as individuals and members of it. Let us pray. Lord God, here we stand again in this holy place, affirming our beliefs, affirming the way you have loved us and continue to love and work and shape us. Continue to bless us. Bless especially these three young men, we pray. For we ask it in the beloved name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.